All right. Welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary. We are broadcasting today from high atop Frostbite Tower here in St. Louis, where it's a little chilly. Although if you're like in Canada or Alaska or someplace where it's really cold, you don't have any sympathy for Floridians and other warm-blooded persons who are here. But we continue to read through Hebrews 10, and we are at verse 19. Back to the hortatory subjunctives, I say it that way. So the writer has, in a sense, finished, although he'll make reference still to the high priestly office of Christ and his once-for-all sacrifice, but he's moving on to the to the therefore, right? So that's where we pick up in verse 19. So, and I guess we could, we have a fairly long sentence, actually. We don't get to the main verb until verse 22. If I could say it that way. So we'll just take it one verse at a time. So we start with ekantes un adolfoi, paresian eis tein eisadon ton hageon, en to haimate Jesu, ... So therefore, and now we have a participle, having, and the adolfoi is would have to be taken as a vocative, kind of directed as brothers. The main verb, as I mentioned, is in verse 22, pros erkometha, and it's a subjunctive, present subjunctive, and translated as exhortation. So let us. So the referent of the participle would be us. It's the implied subject in the main verb. So that means that ekantes would be standing in predicate position. And it's normally translated causally, since, because, right? So therefore, brothers, since we have paresia, boldness, something like that, into the entrance of the holy things in or by the blood of Jesus. That would be a literal translation, which actually gets pretty close to the sense of it. If you wanted to label genitives here, you could probably call ton hageon an objective genitive. You enter the holy things or the holy places. And again, of course, this is assuming the argument that Christ has himself led the way into the heavenly sanctuary and there offered his once-for-all sacrifice for sins. But then that just gets us started. So now we have a relative clause in verse 20, and that carries on actually into verse 21, and finally we get to the main verb in verse 22. But other than that, it's not too bad, right? So having, you have to look up some words maybe. Other than that, I think it's pretty straightforward. Questions? Observations? Okay. We'll just go ahead and pick up the relative clause in verse 20 then. Hein anakinesen hemin hadan prosphatan kaizosan diatu kata petasmatas tut estin tes sarkas autu. And we'll get verse 21 as well. Kai hierea megan epi tan oikon tu theu. So hein is the relative pronoun, and it's feminine singular accusative. It's accusative because it's the object of anakinesen, which means to renew or maybe inaugurate. I think it's often translated inaugurate here. And it's feminine singular, and so it has to have a feminine antecedent, right? And if you look back in verse 20, in verse 19, we have two feminine nouns, paresion, boldness, and we have asadon, which might look masculine, but if you see the article, it's just like hadas. It's a feminine noun, and ace hadas is a feminine noun as well. And I think rather than boldness being the antecedent, it's probably entrance, access, right? So that's the access which, verse 20, he inaugurated, it's from, the dictionary form would be epsilon gamma, egg kainidzo. And this is just an aorist indicative. You put the temporal augment in between the prefixed preposition and the basic stem and the weak. It's a weak stem, so you see the sigma, and then you've got it. So just an aorist indicative, active, third singular. Which he inaugurated, hamin, probably dative of advantage, for us, right? And now let's talk more about that. So in apposition to hain, which strictly speaking is the direct object, we have another accusative noun, away. So which he inaugurated, comma, away, and now let's modify way. So we have two adjectives. One is a participle, of course, but prosphatan is a word that you have to look up. It means new or recent. Actually, I had no idea what it meant until I looked it up, and it means apparently new or recent. A new and zosan is just participle, feminine, see, be present, participle, active, feminine, singular, accusative from zao. A recent and living way. And it actually makes you wonder, is it recent in the historical sense, in the salvation historical sense? That, you know, so the writer is saying, look, this just happened. You know, it's just not too long ago. I don't know if that's the connotation of it or not. And so he opened, which he inaugurated for us. What did he inaugurate? A new and living way. And how did he do it? Where does the way lead? Through the katapetasma, through the curtain, right? That is, tais sarkasatu, of his flesh. So, and this is where the picture gets confusing for me, to be frank, and it makes some people laugh out in the hallway. Is Jesus' flesh the curtain? I have a hard time putting the picture together, actually. And di plus the genitive here, you know, when you think about a curtain, it doesn't express means. It expresses movement, right? So you move through something, right? Which is one of the things that dia plus the plus genitive can express. So I'm not exactly sure what he's saying here, other than that's what the words actually indicate.
Perhaps using metonymy, whereas the old curtain used to separate man from God.
Right.
And now he's using the image of the curtain to represent the doorway to God.
Yeah. Well, something like that, yeah. Yeah, so that curtain. But again, and maybe he's doing dia in kind of a dual sense here, that it's the way through the curtain, but it's also by means of his flesh. See that? I'm having a little hard time putting the picture together. I'm not exactly sure what he's saying. I mean, go ahead, Reed.
This is way out there, but in verse 22, your body's washed with pure water.
Mm-hmm.
Baptismal ideas.
Pretty clearly, I think.
Maybe a Eucharistic idea? Of course, you don't have so many.
Sarkos. Yeah. Well, again, I think that worship and that kind of thing is always lurking in the air in Hebrews. Mm-hmm. So, I don't feel like I know Hebrews well enough to put the pieces together, to be honest. So, I would say a definite maybe on that. I don't know. What do I know? I'm just parsing words here. So, so having given a definitive answer on that one. Well, let's just omit it. See, there's an omission marker there. We'll just omit the last five words of verse 20, right? That'll take care of the problem. So, okay. Now what we actually have in verse 21 is another accusative, right? And so you kind of, I think you have to take this all the way back to ekantes. I looked it up, and the ESV actually repeats the participle in translation. So, therefore, since we have, you know, boldness, blah, 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 verse 21, and since we have a great high priest, that's the way they do it. And I don't know what else you do with it, with a chi followed by another accusative, which is another object for ekantes, the first word in this fairly long sentence, the main verb of which we have yet to read. So we have confidence or boldness, and we have a hiera, a priest, a big one, a great priest over God's house, right? And God's house there, of course, is the temple, right? That's what God's house is, right? So he's a chief priest over the temple. So since we have all of that, comma, verse 22.
Can I ask a question?
Yep, Will?
This hiera, I don't even know what case that is.
It's accusative, it's masculine singular accusative. It's from hiereus.
Okay.
Yeah. And now I know with basileus, there are actually two accusative singular forms that function, that you see. It's evil third declension. Yeah, so you just pray for an article, which we don't have here. No, but it's actually a masculine singular accusative. Yeah, hiera'a. Right. I don't know why he doesn't say chief priest or high priest. He says great priest.
Well, this is probably unique in the book, right?
I think so, yeah. It's usually archiereus. Right, right. So, yet one more thing I don't know about Hebrews, but I can parse, so. And that makes me feel good about myself, and we all know that that along with having for passion for something is what's important in life, right? To have high self-esteem and to have passion for something. Yeah, right. I don't care if you have passion or not. You're supposed to do what you're supposed to do. And that brings me to verse 22. Right? So here we go. Prosercomatha meta alethenes kardeas en plerophoria pisteos. Now, this is interesting. Hrerantis menoi tas kardias apa sine deseos poneras kai lelus menoi tas soma hidati katharo. So now this is a main clause of the sentence, and then as you see, there's a full stop. So, pros erkamai means to approach, right? And it's the subjunctive. You can see the long connecting vowel, and it's deponent. So, let us approach with a true heart, and let us approach with full assurance of faith, right? And now we have two masculine plural nominative participles. Both of them are perfect participle passive, although they could be middle in form as well. The referent of the participles has to be the unexpressed we, or us, of let us approach, right? And hrerantismenoi is from hrantidzo. And let's see, lelusmenoi is from, what is that from? Is that just from luo? L-O-U-O, to spell it in English? Means to wash. So hrantidzo means to sprinkle, right? I'm not exactly sure how to take them. You could certainly take them as temporal, after we have been and are sprinkled, or now that we are sprinkled, to get the perfect ongoing result in there. What's interesting to me is that we have accusatives, right? Mm-hmm. So with passive verb forms. So that's a little different, right? And there's actually a note on this in Blas de Brunner, it's a kind of a form, I'm very happy to be able to say this, it's a kind of a form of a retained accusative, okay? That is to say, some verbs, like rantidzo, if I wanted to say, I sprinkle JJ's leg or something, the way you would say it in Greek is you would put JJ in the accusative, and you would then put leg as a second accusative. So strictly speaking, it could be, I sprinkle JJ with respect to leg. It's kind of like an adverbial accusative of reference, but it's a verb just takes two accusatives. Now what happens when the verb goes from active voice to passive voice, the person who was the accusative, one of the accusatives, becomes the nominative subject. But you, and here's the phrase, you retain the second accusative. This is why it's called a retained accusative. It's nothing, in a sense, it's nothing fancy, except it makes you feel really smart when you can say, oh, well, that's a retained accusative, and nobody else knows what the heck you're talking about. See? You could translate them actually as adverbial. So you could say, Like Achilles, for instance. My daughter was reading the Iliad, I guess it was one time, when she was in a post-bac program in the classics at UCLA. And she realized that it was swift-footed Achilles. It literally is Achilles swift with respect to foot. It's just an accusative. It's adverbial, you know. So you could translate these sprinkled with respect to the hearts and washed with respect to the body. You could go that way as well, because although the dative of reference has become much more common, apparently, in New Testament writings than it is in Older Greek, and the accusative of reference has faded, but you still see adverbial accusatives of reference a fair amount in the New Testament. So whether you call this a retained accusative or an adverbial accusative, it amounts to kind of the same thing. But you do have to kind of explain why you have these accusatives with passive voice verbs, right? So we'll just go that way. And then the dative at the end, of course, is probably a dative of means, right? By means of pure water. And Reed, I think you're absolutely right. It's got to be a baptismal reference, right? With luo and water, right? So let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And again, maybe take them temporally. Now that we are sprinkled in heart from an evil conscience, and now that we are washed in body by means of pure water, something like that. So it's interesting to see how the English translations have to make this work into smooth English, but that's the sense of it. So, questions about verse 22? Will, go ahead.
Is that our best word for synodesis? I mean, what does that exactly mean, from an evil conscience?
I think it can mean something like what we normally mean with the word conscience, but it can also mean just sort of awareness or, but I think it depends on the author as to how this little vocabulary word is, how it's used. I'm not sure we should always put our sort of sense of my conscience, that is, you know, what sort of bothers me and nags at me at night and that kind of thing. But I do think it seems to mean like the awareness of evil or something like that. So it's a remarkable thing that we have actually been sprinkled, and then there's a separation now. No longer is there. But you know what this reminds me of? Actually, I just thought of this, is the passage in Peter. Let's dip over to 1 Peter 3. We'll see. I think it's the same word. Or baptism. Oh, yeah. Yeah, how about that? Score one for the Gibber. 1 Peter 3:21. I don't think I've ever said that before.
The Gibber?
Yeah.
There you go.
That's right.
Mark the date.
That wasn't that good. Sarah's just laughing because she's so cold. This is the famous baptismal type, anti-type with the flood, right? So verse 21, which also you, as an anti-type, now baptism saves. So baptism as an anti-type now saves you, not the putting off of the hripu, the filth of the flesh, but, now look at what baptism is in this passage at least, it's the epeirotema, the request of a good consciousness or a good conscience. So I do think that some of our modern sense of conscience applies, but I think the word is somewhat flexible. Have you like encountered it in different contexts? Or?
Well, I think Paul uses it too, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yep.
And yep.
It's not like, I don't think it's like conscience.
It's not the way we normally, no, I think it's a mistake to just kind of willy-nilly transfer all that, our normal use of the term conscience. Right. But now I've reached the limit of what I know about that word, so we'll just, let's see. So Will, this is an important question, but we don't have time to go into it right now. which means I don't know any more to say. Yeah, I'm only 57. I haven't gotten to that one yet. Okay, good. So that's verse 22. Oh, let's see. And now it's almost, we got a little bit of a late start. Let's see how far we have to go. Well, unfortunately, 23, 24, and 25 is another sentence. So maybe we should stop, you know, and we can all go about our business. But it does begin with, and let us hold fast. So yet one more. Kateko means to hold on to, among other things. And so it starts with another. Yeah, so hold on to your confession until Greek Club next week. Yeah. And, let's see. It's we're on vacation, aren't we? I guess we will not have Greek Club next week, just because we'll be on Christmas break. So, or the following week, right? So, a blessed Advent to all of our Greek Club listeners, and Merry Christmas, and the day after Christmas we have the slaughter of the Holy Innocents or something, don't we? That's one of the more unfortunate pieces of liturgical juxtaposition. So. And I don't think I've ever actually said liturgical juxtaposition before either. So.
It's a big day for you.
It's a big day.
It's a good day.